And in the meeting, someone said, well, let's invite the most, the smartest preacher in the brotherhood. And so they called him, and he said he couldn't come. So they met again. They said, well, now, someone suggested, let's get the most popular preacher in the brotherhood to come. They called him. He said he couldn't come. So they met together, and finally Robert said, let's ask the best-looking preacher in the brotherhood. And brethren, when they called me, when he made that call, I didn't have the heart to turn him down the third time. So here I am. No, y'all know better than that. I'm sure you do. I do want to encourage everybody. I know the typical Sunday morning crowd. But our Lord was a masterful teacher. Amen? And that sermon that is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. And he started off with Beatitudes. If you want to be happy in this life, one has got to master the Beatitudes. And I mean, I'm not talking just reading them or memorizing them, but digging deep and looking at each one very carefully. And that's what we're going to do, good Lord willing, beginning at 1:30. We're going to look at blessed are the poor in heart. And then we won't have time to examine all of them, but I'm going to choose, and you have in your advertisement the other three that we're going to look at. And so I want you to make every effort to be here. I think that these lessons will encourage you, and I think it will motivate us to be faithful to the Lord. That's what's important. Now this morning, I want you to look at this title right here. Robert, it's hard for me to believe that preachers and teachers have got to talk about this subject. And the reason I say that is because those of us who have confessed the greatest name we can confess, repented of our sins and been buried with him in baptism, and that blood wash away our sins, and then the Lord adds us to his church, we should have an appreciation for our forgiveness. And thus, we should be very readily to forgive someone else. But you know, brethren, that's not the case. That's not the case today. We know that there are three kindred spirits of the heart. There's giving, there is forgiving, and there is thanksgiving. And I want you to look at those just a minute. I am told by those who are knowledgeable of this that if a person is very thankful, they're also going to be forgiven and they're going to be a liberal giver. If someone is a liberal giver, chances are they're going to forgive others and they're going to be very thankful. Do you follow me? In other words, if you possess one, you possess all three. I have seen brethren that don't possess any of these three, and that's sad. As a matter of fact, in regard to this subject, it is probably one of the most neglected in our brotherhood. I've been preaching full time since 1975. Some of you have been born since then. So as my wife says, and she's with me today, we're old geezers. All right? But I have seen that this is one of the biggest problems in the church. As a matter of fact, it has caused trouble in the church. I've seen congregations split because brethren would not forgive brethren. All right, now let's look at this. What is it not? It's not ignoring the sin. You can't do that. Had a couple at Greenbrier that, boy, they were right down the line on marriage, divorce, remarriage. Then all of a sudden their daughter got divorced and she remarried, and then all of a sudden, boy, everything's fine. Just ignore it. That, my friends, is not forgiveness. Nor is forgiveness not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting an offense that happened. Forgiveness is not an instant restoration of trust. Forgiveness doesn't eliminate the consequences of transgression. We understand that, don't we? We cannot forgive someone and then just restore them just automatically and trust them 100% because of the nature of their offense. But we are to forgive them, and I mean by that we're not to bring it up anymore. We're not to bring it up anymore, and we'll understand that as we get into the lesson. It is not a threat, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. Now, I admit that there are things that are done to us that there's no way we're going to forget about it. Someone hurt your child or hurt your spouse, you're not going to forget about that. But my friends, you're to forgive them. And you're not to bring it up anymore. Yeah, it may stick in this mind of yours until you die. But you can't use it. You can't put it on a ledger and bring it back out. And let me remind you, buddy, what you did on so-and-so date. We can't do that. That is not forgiveness. And then I want this to hit home. Forgiveness is not feeling that this one does not deserve it. Now, if we go back to the text that our good brother read for us, there in Matthew 18, if you have your Bibles, turn there and let's look at this. Peter comes to the Lord. And you know how Peter is. Peter reminds me of me, and I'm sure Robert could say the same thing. He was just outspoken. And so Peter comes to the Lord. He said, Lord, how many times am I to forgive my brother? And then what he said is seven times. Now I want you to look at that number a little bit. Do you know what the Jews taught? How many times you're to forgive somebody? Three times. Three times, and then that's it. All right, so Peter knew that, being a Jew. And so he said, man, I'm going to double that and add one. The Lord is going to be impressed with me. And then he was shocked when Jesus says, no, Peter, 7 times 70. Now, my friends, do not get your calculators out and say that's 490 times I'm to forgive somebody and then that's it. No, that's not what the Lord's saying. You, as a Christian, you are to have a forgiving spirit. Always forgive. Always forgive. And then, as Jesus often did, being the master teacher, he said, hey, here's a story I want to tell you, Peter. There's a king that has a servant that owed him 10,000 talents. You know how much money that is today? 9,600,000. Now, this was back, Robert, when I went to the gold, how much was gold worth per ounce and so forth, figured it up. In other words, it was an astronomical amount. He could never pay it in 1,000 lifetimes. You remember what the servant did? Lord, Lord, King, please forgive me, please forgive me. I will pay you all. Well, he's telling a lie right there. He can't pay it all. But what did the king do? The king forgave him. The king forgave him. Now, you and I, we'd look back at that unmerciful servant and we'd say, man, that guy was sorry. I mean, because he goes out and finds a fellow servant that owes him, and I've got this down in my Bible, I think it's around $26. $26. He could have paid that back easily. But no, the unmerciful servant took him by the throat and he said, pay me. And then he put him in prison. Well, I'm sorry to say that since I've been preaching full time and since 1975, I've seen brethren who were the unmerciful servant. And they didn't realize it. They would not forgive the brother. They would not forgive a sister because it's so big what they did to me. We better look at the scriptures closely. We better understand what our Lord is talking about. What is forgiveness then? Vine defines forgiveness to bestow a favor unconditionally. Most of you are probably aware of the Winkler situation in Selmer, Tennessee, several years ago. Dan and Diane Winkler's son, Matthew, was shot in bed by his wife, Mary, and then she took the girls and headed to South Alabama. Matthew laid there on the floor and bled to death. The elders wondered, where is he? And so they come to the house the next day and find him dead in his bedroom. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. When Dan and Diane Winkler found out that their son had been killed, you know what they did? They went to South Alabama to retrieve the three daughters, hugging Mary and telling her, Mary, we love you and we forgive you, before their son Matthew was buried. Now what about that? I want to tell you that's New Testament Christianity forgiveness right there, exemplified. Dan Winkler is just that kind of man. And they meant it when they told Mary, we love you. Our son-in-law followed him, Jeremy Weekly, at Selma. And let me tell you, that was a difficult job for him, but he did a wonderful job. Strong defines it to graciously, to give freely, to bestow. As a Christian receives grace, he is expected to give grace. Now, in order to forgive, we need to recognize that everybody's imperfect. Guess what? That includes me. I make mistakes. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, for there's not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin. Remember what God said about Solomon? He's the wisest man that's ever been or ever will be other than Jesus. You remember what Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we have offended people. We've said things we shouldn't do. And we need their forgiveness. And I want you to also notice that forgiving others requires faith. Let's go back to Matthew 18 because I don't want you to miss this. In Matthew 18, when Jesus told Peter that parable there about the unforgiving servant, we know that immediately when the king found out what the servant had done, he called his servant, you bring that wicked servant to me in verse 32. And when he was brought, he said, oh, you wicked servant. I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? A brother who will not forgive another brother or another sister or another person because of the magnitude of their sin. Brethren, you better look at this carefully because Jesus is speaking to us right here. And then he gives the conclusion. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother their trespasses. My friends, how could Jesus make that any plainer? How could he said that anyway that it would have been clear to me or to you? And so it's from the heart. It's our faith. If our faith is strong, then we should be forgiven. If we're not forgiven, then we have a weak faith and we're weak on love. Amen? All right, let's continue this line of thought. Forgiveness requires a surrender of one's pride. Boy, don't we have the verses in the Bible? Doesn't Solomon address this problem of pride? And that's what it is. If I won't forgive somebody, then it's a problem of pride. I'm better than they are. Look what they've done to me. Look what they've done to my family. You better back off of that one. God commands us to forgive. I want us to go to these passages. Colossians comes after Philippians, as you're looking it up. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Listen to Paul as he talks to the brethren at Colossae. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, notice what Paul said. Even as Christ forgave you, so you do also. So he's comparing us with Christ. Look at Christ. Look at what he has done for us. We know that love demands it, doesn't it? You look at that love, agape love, described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, and you look and see that it's patient, that it's kind, that it's long-suffering, that it's bearing, it's believing the best. That agape love, if you've got it, forgiveness is not going to be a problem. Problem is, some of our brethren don't have it. They don't have agape love. Don't have it. Jesus commanded us to forgive. If you go, Ephesians 4:32 says the same thing, basically. But if you go to the Sermon on the Mount again and look at what Jesus said, he says, if you will forgive men their trespasses, their sins, your heavenly Father will forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father is not going to forgive you. Now, I beg of you, anybody here, how could Jesus make that any plainer? If we want forgiveness, we better extend it. That's what he's saying here. You can go over and let's look at that other passage here, because in Mark chapter 11, he says, hey, before you pray, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. In other words, what Jesus is saying is your unforgiving heart is hindering your prayers. Another passage of Scripture, it's hindering your giving to the Lord. So those of us that may be in attendance today, that you hold ill will towards someone else, hopefully you'll see this, my friends, and repent of it. Because you're going to lose your soul if you don't forgive. You know, the destiny of our eternal soul is in jeopardy here. It really is. Their soul, our soul, we've got to be forgiven. So when we look at this, we realize one who does not forgive will not be forgiven. Several years ago, a teacher by the name of Miss Taylor was teaching the fifth grade class. Miss Taylor prided herself in not being biased toward any student, not being prejudiced, but to give the same love to every student. But this particular school year, she had a little boy named Teddy that was, she found it hard to like him. He'd come to class with his hair messed up. His clothes would be wrinkled. They'd be dirty. He'd have dirt under his fingernails. He wasn't a very good student. So as the year progressed, Mrs. Taylor found herself just almost despising the little boy. And whenever he would take a test and fail it, she found pleasure in putting a big red F on his paper. Well, as the year went on, it kind of hit her. You know, I'm not treating this boy right. And maybe I need to make a change. Because the students was noticing her attitude toward Teddy. And they had the same type of attitude toward him. It was Christmas time and they were about to have a Christmas party. But for some reason, Miss Taylor went in the office and she went to the file cabinet. She doesn't know until this day if she's still living why she did this, but something just made her go to Teddy's file. She pulled it. She opened it up and she was shocked when the first grade teacher said, "Teddy is a remarkable student. He's very smart. He's very talented. He'll do great in life." She thought, "Is that my Teddy?" She went to the second grade teacher, and the second grade teacher said, "Teddy has so much potential. I just don't think he utilized all of it. But I think he'll do well in life." Third year teacher said, I'm a little concerned about Teddy. There are things that's going on in his life. He has more talent. He has more potential that he's putting forth. I'm a little concerned about him." And then the fourth grade teacher said, "Teddy is a very troubled child. He's had a rough year this year. This year he lost his mother." Boy, she closed that folder, and I mean her conscience was eating her up. When she walked in the classroom, the children had gifts on her table, on her desk. But there was a gift in the middle that was an old brown paper bag that was used, crinkled up, and everybody, the kids laughed. They knew whose present that was. So did Mrs. Taylor. To their shock, she said, "I want to open this one first." And she grabbed the bag and she opened it up and looked inside it. She pulled out a bracelet that was a rhinestone bracelet. It was tarnished. It had some rhinestones out of it. The children snickered and laughed at it. But again, she shocked them when she put it on her wrist and says, "Isn't that beautiful?" She reached back down in the bag and got a bottle of half-used perfume. Again, the children snickered. Who would give someone a half-filled bottle of perfume? And she sprayed it on and she said, "Doesn't that smell good?" Then she proceeded and opened all the other presents. After the party was over, the children dismissed themselves. But Teddy came forward and he said, "Miss Taylor, I was the one that gave you that bracelet and that perfume. And Miss Taylor, those were my mother's." And then the little boy just turned around and he walked out. Mrs. Taylor got on her knees and begged God to forgive her for the way she had treated Teddy and to help her never make that mistake again with another child. When the children came back to school, Mrs. Taylor was a new person. As a matter of fact, she gave Teddy special attention. She was amazed at how his grades rose to straight A's by the end of the school year. As a matter of fact, they had become so close that she was present at his middle school graduation, making straight A's. She was present at his high school graduation, where he was valedictorian of his class. And 4 years later, after 4 years of med school, tops of his class, Mrs. Taylor was sitting where Teddy's mother would have sat. And my friends today, forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift that God has given me and you. And it's a gift that you and I are to transfer over to other people. So these Bible facts, from time to time, offense will come. You're going to be offended. And I guess it'd be safe, all of us here today have been offended a bunch of times. Some more severe than other times. When forgiveness is from the heart, love is strengthened, and souls are saved. You saw what a transformation that made on little Teddy's heart and life. The change that was made by Mrs. Taylor. No one is justified in being unforgiven. If you don't remember anything about this lesson, I want you to remember this point right here. None of us are justified for not forgiving somebody. We're not. So this morning, the Lord is calling the prodigal home. We may have someone here who needs to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you're honest with yourself and with God that I just hadn't been as forgiven as I need to be. God is willing to forgive you your sins. If you'll rededicate, if you'll come back home like the prodigal son. Most of us have done that. There are some here that need to be baptized. You need to confess the greatest name you've ever confessed. You need to repent of your sins. Turn your life around. Give it to God, because we're not going to be here long. And we're all rapidly heading toward an eternity. And we're going to be in one of two places. We don't want to be in that other place. You know that Jesus in his ministry talked more about hell than he did heaven? Are y'all aware of that? Should be telling us something. Are you extending that forgiveness to others? You know, that's a question for me this morning. That's a question for you. Am I a forgiving person? You know, if we don't have a forgiving heart, it's a cancer that will eat us up and cause us to lose our soul. If you have hate, if you despise somebody, I don't care who they are, I don't care what color they are, I don't care what they've done, it's going to eat you up. That's why Jesus told Peter, Peter, you got to have a forgiving spirit. You got to forgive. And for our Lord to hang on that cross and to look down at soldiers that spit on him and slapped him and mocked him and made fun of him, for him to pray to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, we bid you come as together we stand and sing.